The conversation started from the Kia's Renault Drive Car of the Year is on now. We've got Jakey Stringer to join us this morning. Geordie Lewis out of 8 o'clock. Georgie Samios to talk a little bit of wine as well. But we can get stuck into the footy issues of the day, as we always do at this time. The Sam Mitchell interview was the big footy story yesterday. He came on Jared Waitley's show. Jared put direct questions to him that I think needed to be answered and needed to be put to him only once. He doesn't, and every time the media want to say something, he doesn't have to come running out to answer it. But I think once definitively, given that he effectively had been accused by Caroline Wilson of white-anting was the term that was used yesterday, white-anting Alistair Clarkson within a week of having agreed to this transition, which on the surface sounded just bizarre, and if that was the case, would have reflected really poorly. I thought he was definitive. I thought he was emphatic. And now we sit back and watch, because someone's going to look really silly.
Well, it played out exactly the way that you thought that it should play out, and that Hawthorn, at some point, they needed to put their head up. He needed to put his head up and actually answer some of those questions and respond to some of the speculative pieces that are not so much speculative, but pretty categoric in what they were saying, Caroline Wilson, and then also Sam McClure. I mean, Sam McClure was strong again. We'll get to that in a minute about the fact that he still doesn't believe that Alistair Clarkson will be coaching Hawthorn in 2022. Just take us back to where it all started, though.
Well, there was, I mean, there's always going to be a fascination with how this handover was going to play out, right?
Yep.
So you go back to the succession plan. Is that where you're talking?
Well, I'm talking about last week. Really, the speculative pieces started last week. Okay, so Tom Morris went last week to say, look, there were board members at the Hawthorn Football Club that weren't happy with this handover.
Yeah.
They did not want this to take
place. That's right. And then it grew from there. And sometimes I think there's a bit of one-upsmanship in all this. So if he said that, I need to say so. But Caroline Wilson has then come out and said that, Sam McClure said, I can tell you, this was his direct quote. In fact, let's have a listen to it right now.
No one is allowed to talk about the fact that he might not be coached next year because there's a $1 million contract up for grabs.
Yes.
Okay. So until that is formally worked out between all parties, he's going to be coaching next year. I am sitting here telling you he won't be.
Simple as that.
He won't be. And I'm happy for you to play that audio every night for a year if he does.
Right, so that was that. Caroline Wilson also said that there was a meeting. She described it as a mediation. Now, when you hear mediation, that conjures up images of two warring parties having to be brought reluctantly to the table to sort their issues out. At that time, she declared that Sam Mitchell made it clear he wanted to be coach and would prefer Clarkson not be there. There's no ambiguity in that. Caroline Wilson saying a week later after he agreed to this deal that he said, I want him out. I want to be here on my own. So they're all the things. So you listen to all that. People talk, experienced journalists, well, Caroline is, and clearly talking to someone, and you go, it just sounds strange, It sounds when you got, we've heard now from Clarkson, we've heard from Mitchell, we've heard from Reeves, we've heard from Kennett.
Yeah.
So that's one side.
Yep.
They've all said the same thing. This is where it is. This is what is happening. There you go. And then on the other hand, you've got a couple of journalists who are saying they're lying, basically.
Okay, this is what Caro had to say last night on Footy Classified.
It is not Sam's 100% desire to coach in tandem with Alistair Clarkson next year. It might be today, after meetings have been held since that meeting. And I might add, Ed, some of those meetings have been held without Alistair Clarkson present. It is just patently not true for Sam to say there are not leaks coming out of Hawthorn. I've never seen Hawthorn leak like this. And Sam should be very careful about what he says about his premiership coach, as I'm hearing back that he's been saying to people at that football club, he should just be careful.
So Caro's hearing it from someone who heard it.
Right.
So this is what Sam Mitchell's had to say on it, with Jared Waitley yesterday, who put it very, very clearly to him.
No. Everything we're planning right now, the so-called meeting that we had, which is one of a numerous amount of meetings that we have had and will continue to have, will be around planning for Clarko to coach next year, me to coach Box Hill, me to be really heavily invested in the development of the youth of Hawthorn. So I just see it playing out exactly as we've said it is going to.
Yep.
And the only people that are saying it's not going to work out like that are people with a genuine lack of knowledge who say they're speaking to people at the club, but every piece of evidence says the contrary.
Asked if it was his desire to work harmoniously with Clarkson the next year, his answer was absolutely 100%. Okay.
Now,
so
just
all
on
we're
this
doing
point.
Is putting them both out there.
Okay,
you can
okay.
make up your own mind. We're not telling you who to believe, who not to believe. At the end of the day, it's a credibility race now. Either the Hawthorn Footy Club's credibility will be intact and a couple of journos won't, or the journos will be
it is possible.
Sitting back smoking their pipe and the Hawthorn Footy Club will look stupid.
Okay, I just want to play the Sam McClure grab again with Jared Waitley last night on their program on AW. Just have a listen to
Jared
this.
Healy.
With Jared Healy, sorry. I just want to play this again and then I've got something to say at the conclusion of it.
No one is allowed to talk about the fact that he might not be coached next year because there's $1 million contract up for grabs.
Yes.
Okay. So until that is formally worked out between all parties, he's going to be coaching next year. I am sitting here telling you he won't be.
Simple as that.
He won't be. And I'm happy for you to play that audio every night for a year if he does.
Okay, so Sam might actually still be right. Like, it may be that they get to a point. Right now, the negotiation they're having is one negotiation, and there may be that Collingwood come to – you know, Alistair Clarkson and offer him a contract and he takes that contract and he goes. I mean, that still may play out.
I don't think that's going to play out.
No, I know you don't think that's going to play out, but that is still a live possibility that it could play out that way. It may still happen.
Anything could happen. For that to happen, there would have to be... Well, Hawthorn would have to force Clarkson out if that was the case.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, well, that's the way I read it.
Why do you read it like that? Because Al Clarkson has said that he will be there.
Yeah.
But he can change his mind. People do change their minds all the time.
Of course they do.
He can change his mind. So that could play out like that. It could play out that he ends up going somewhere
else. So do you have a problem? Sam Mitchell said it's pissed him off. I'm sorry to use that word. We got that. Let's have a listen to this.
Sam, have you suggested you want to be Hawthorn coach next year and would prefer Alistair Clarkson not be at the Hawks?
Absolutely not. But I kind of get a bit pissed off with people saying that. The fact that people would say that I'm trying to push him out is disrespectful to both of us. The only people that are saying it's not going to work out like that are people with a genuine lack of knowledge who say they're speaking to people at the club, but every piece of evidence says the contrary.
So is it disrespectful to have a four-time premiership great, like a great, say one thing so definitively and then to have the bloke who's taking over to be as strong as he was yesterday, is it disrespectful for anyone or a journo then turn around and say, well, that's not true?
No, because it's not disrespectful because a journalist will have information, which is what they do. They gather information, they talk to people.
So then
and then they present those stories. Now,
are they lying then? They're being called liars.
Well, they may or they may – no. They would not. I don't think they would deliberately lie and put out a story there that they had no substance whatsoever.
But they are talking.
They are talking to people, right? Obviously, if we gather information, you gather information, I gather information. We both say we were talking to someone.
I understand that.
Now
I
maybe
agree.
That person that they spoke to isn't at the absolute pointy end.
Yeah, I know.
Of
I,
our
know
conversation.
I get that. And this is not about let's take the names out of it and all that. So I understand how the media works and how the journalists work and chase stories. All you can do is put it to the two people who are directly being accused, or the accusation is this. Could they be more defiant and more categoric?
No, they couldn't have been.
Right.
No, they couldn't have been.
That's all I'm saying.
No, they couldn't have been. But having said all that, we know, having been around football for a long time, that people at times, they create a narrative.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you are responsible to your club.
Mm.
And the narrative is that, you know, this is what we want the narrative to be as a football club. We want to put this to bed as best we possibly can. I'm not saying anyone in this is lying.
No. Does the credibility of journalists and or organisations, is that fairly and squarely on the line here?
Yeah, well, information about a story, the credibility about that story is on the line, yes.
Yeah. And know what? I don't care whether journos get stuff right right or wrong. And we all get stuff wrong. It's the defiant. When you go as definitively as, I can tell you right now that Mitchell will be coach of Hawthorn next year, there's an arrogance about that.
No, no. there's a belief in the information that that person has to be. Not an arrogance. Because if you're
telling... In the face of what Sam Mitchell is saying.
No, no, not arrogance. You're saying that you are backing your information. Now, that's not being arrogant. That's just being somebody who believes that they are totally and utterly connected to a decision maker
on the
here,
back of the coach then, saying he's going to be there and the incumbent saying he's happy for it to work that way. No, defiantly and definitively and uncategorically.
But if you go with information, you go with information and you believe that to be true.
Yeah.
So he's standing by his story. That's what he's doing. He's standing by his story. He still believes... He still believes, as we played there, he still believes that Alistair Clarkson will not be
and
at Hawthorn next year.
I accept all what you're saying.
Well, I don't think you do.
No, I do, because then all I'm saying now is it is a credibility race here. That's where we're going.
Well, somebody's going to... Somebody,
one or the other is going to be losing
that's
a
right,
hell
some,
of a lot of it. That's
someone
all I'm saying.
Might, someone's going to be right and somebody's going to be wrong.
Yeah. No, in a big, big way.
That's right. That's right. But journalists do get... Despite what they might
career
say, despite what people say,
career defining or not?
No, it's not career defining.
Isn't it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But it is something that you have to wear as a mark against your name if you get something like that as wrong,
okay,
as well, it might be. But let's wait and see. He may be 100% correct.
Possibly. Possibly. Yeah, no, that's true. That is true. It won't be left alone, that's for sure.
It'll be revisited. Yes, it will be revisited at some stage.
Yeah. Other footy news around. David Mundy's gone around for another year. Is he going to get the four? I asked you this yesterday. You were a bit wishy-washy on this.
I think he's got a lot. Like
350 games this weekend.
The next 50 is going to be...
Well, he's playing as well as he ever has.
No, he is, but we know that people can fall off the face of... go over the cliff very quickly in this business. So I wouldn't be prepared to stake my life on the fact that he's going to play 400 games.
Adam Simpson hopes he retires. He wants him to coach at the West Coast Eagles.
I said this before. I was looking at getting Mundy as a coach about 3 years ago. wind up. That went to be inquired and said, "Look, it's about time. How do you feel about continuing your life after football?" And he signed again.
There you go. So well received, well respected. That was Adam Simpson on Sports Day last night.
Hey, when we come back, we need to take a break. But when we come back, Tommy Brown caught up with Swans chairman Andrew Pridham yesterday about COLA and stuff like that. Obviously, everybody's suffering a little bit financially in the competition right now. He had some really interesting things to say that I want to play to you and everybody when we come back.
The country is back racing strong. Book now at country.racing.com. Kogan credit cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Simon gets in the car. He thinks he's had enough of Hawthorn every time at 7 o'clock. A touch of exaggeration, Simon, but it is the big footy story at the moment. But we will move on now. The seven-seat Kia Sorento just being crowned Drive Car of the Year. Andrew Pridham, COLA, always... gets the juices flowing for a lot of people.
It does.
A lot of footy people.
It does, and it's an issue up there that won't go away. This is what he had to say to Tommy Brown yesterday on Channel 7 about the price of housing and what they need to do or what he believes they need to do in the AFL to make it fairer for the Sydney Swans players.
The soft cap should be increased. It is more expensive to live in Sydney than it is to live in most of any other state. Housing is their major expense by far, and it's becoming almost unattainable for many people.
So the soft cap being for the footy administrators, the coaches, the staff, which has been lowered, therefore they're getting less money. He's saying, therefore, it's harder for us to attract people to come to live in Sydney when you want to pay them less and the price of housing is going through the roof.
They're saying it's a real, real issue again.
The counter to that is always, okay, well, what happens with Adelaide where the market's down, not down, where the housing market's below that of Melbourne and Sydney. Do we take money away?
And?
No, of course you don't.
Of course you don't. No, you don't. But
it's a hard one. I can understand what Andrew's saying. I understand it completely. If I'm an assistant coach, right, just say, I'm saying, see you, Wisp, I'm going to go into assistant coaching land. They say, okay, it's paying 180 grand or whatever it is. Yep. You go, right, 180 in Adelaide, then I can go and rent or buy whatever I want to do at this price and know that I'm going to have this left over. 180 in Sydney, got to rent or buy or live somewhere, you know, where you don't want to have to travel an hour and a half a day. You're not going to have as much to get by.
That's true. That's true. But you are investing in your career as well, aren't you, as an assistant coach? Okay, you have to be able to afford your rentals and living, you know, expenses, that type of thing. I understand that. But if you're going to Sydney, you're not going there just for the excitement or the experience of living in Sydney.
No, you're going there for a career.
That's right. You're going there because John Longmire and the Sydney Swans have proven over a long period of time that they run one of the best organisations in the competition. So you're going there for their intel and your experience and the next stage of your career so that you will be as finished a product as you possibly can be and ready to coach AFL football. So you've got to take all that into account as well.
What if they're not a good organisation, though?
But they are a good organisation, and you want to go there because they are.
We think they are.
Well, no, they are.
No, we know that.
Everything about them says they are.
Right, I accept that.
Everything says they are, Gary. I don't know why you. I don't know why you're interrupting me again.
So when they are a great organisation, there's that lure. Yep. What about if they weren't, and you needed to get people up there to make them a great organisation?
Well, then you've got another problem.
Then you've got a problem. You've got a Kohler problem there. Who's Andrew Pridham saying? Fortunately, we don't have to attract anyone because we are a great club. But if in the instance that we're not and we need to go, okay, I need to get the best assistants and the best medicos and the best this, and trying to attract them with the cost of living up there, then they've got a problem.
You know, when we first heard that Jeff Brown was possibly eyeing off the president's role at Collingwood, and there was going to be this boardroom reshuffle and that type of thing. And
it was almost a Carl Langdon.
That's right. It was at that time. It was, and all
a
this
fait accompli.
This other stuff was going to be avoided. Well, Eddie at that time said, "Look, I'm not buying into this. Right, I'm not buying into this. This is for others to decide. I'll be an interested onlooker on the side." Well. This is what he had to say on Footy Classified last night, Eddie McGuire, the former Collingwood president.
I'm staying right out of it, and I am, okay? You ask me questions on here, I'll give you the answers, but there has been some things that I've been very dismayed about in the process to this particular moment in time. The first thing is that whole EGM nonsense was just a debacle and an embarrassment to the Collingwood Football Club. And people running around threatening to go to ASIC, the Australian Securities Investment Commission, just cuts me to the core that anyone who would say they're a Collingwood supporter would go to ASIC.
Don't know where the music came from. There was a long, it went for 3 minutes, so we weren't going to play the whole lot. Of course Ed was going to get passionate about it.
At some point he was going to have to buy into it, wasn't he?
Of course he was. And he's got every right to. He says he wasn't going to.
No, well he'd silenced himself. That's what he did.
No, yeah, but you understand how that works. You can only sit back so long and bite your tongue. We could say that about our club, and if it was starting to go horribly wrong and you're in the media, you're going to have an opinion about it at some stage.
And also yesterday the news was wasn't actually announced yesterday. We're going to speak to Jake String a little bit later, but he got the bag. He got a three-year deal. The other part to all this, though, that was reported was Cale Hooker playing currently, obviously, as a forward for Essendon. I thought it was really honest what Ben Rutten had to say.
I haven't heard this. What is
it? Okay, well, he said along the lines, look, we haven't decided whether or not we're going to give Cale Hooker another contract after this year, but he knows where we're at. We've been talking, we've been in dialogue all the year, so he knows exactly where all this stands, which is a really – I'm sure other football clubs have – you know, this is an ongoing conversation that they have with players that are getting into the twilight of their career about whether or not they're going to get a contract, that type of thing. But if you look at it, it's a big 5 weeks for him, isn't it, Cale Hooker, at the end of this season? If he's playing now for his football future, it's a big, big time for him.
Well,
he desperately wants to go on and play.
We're getting this a bit more from clubs, though. Matthew Nix has said the same thing about Daniel Talia and Tom Lynch. You know, they know exactly where they're at. We can't.
But they're not playing, though. They've been injured.
Well, I think they're back this week, aren't they? Talia's not. Lynch might be playing this week. But they're saying, it's a big 5 weeks for you, Tom. If, you play to the level that you think you can, then, the contract may well be there. I like that. I like that honesty. And I'm sure those conversations have been had all the time. I heard Adam Simpson last night say about Josh Kennedy. Well, we're going to leave that up to him because right now, 5 weeks to go, we can't tell you definitively, or he can't tell you definitively where he wants to go on. So I think those conversations have been had all around the competition. It's a good way to deal with it.
Well, you've got to have that communication though, don't you?
Well, do you think he'll go on? Cale Hooker?
I don't know. He hasn't had a great season. I think it depends. I think it depends largely upon where they believe some of those other young developing players might be at, in 6 months' time.
Yeah. It looks like he's come to the end of his career to me when I'm watching him play. And I'd say that with the, I don't even know why I say this, but the absolute respect because he's been such a terrific servant, and he's serving a role where he's playing a role where, you know, he probably didn't think he'd had to. And if they can see the development of one of the younger kids that can hand up, or they can attract someone that can play that role, then they probably make that decision even easier.
There are bridge players in every team, aren't they? Like players that build a bridge from, you know, where they are now, where they need to be. You need to fill those spots. You need to have experienced players around them. Hey, just one other thing yesterday that happened too. Toby Green, were you across that story about Toby negotiating, going to the health advisor or the second in command up there in Queensland?
Oh, personally?
Yeah. He wanted to get out of where they were because they were in lockdown, okay, in strict lockdown in hotel rooms, one player to each room, and he apparently took it on board himself to see whether or not he could improve their position, and he has been able to negotiate a house, I think, out of Brisbane somewhere, so all the players can actually get into the house together.
That is a great story. So he rang the bloke or lady himself?
Well, that's according to the story. Tom Brown presented the story last night. He said that he got off his backside himself and decided to do something about it, and this is what the end result is.
It's interesting about Toby. The perception of Toby and the reality might be poles apart in terms of, like, I read where he's heavy into business. I think one of our mutual acquaintances had a lunch with him in recent times and was so taken by the fact that he was doing an MBA or a business degree or something. So,
who's that?
I'll tell you in the ad news break.